Welcome to Follow the Sound. I am your host, Brian Kroc. Each week, we explore different aspects of the world of music. And this includes random things that we want to throw out. But this particular episode is very special because it's our Christmas show! Yay!
Yay! Hallelujah.
And along with me to help me out on this festive episode is Jacob Grum.
How you doing, little Queenie?
Greg Harvey.
Jingle bells.
And Ben Schaefer.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ben randomly showed up at the studio, and so I was Hello. Like, screw it! You're getting on the show! And he decided to stick
How
around
y'all
and,
doing?
And hang out with us. So a very, very simple concept for us tonight. We are picking our favorite Christmas songs and a least favorite Christmas song. And it's going to be a pretty straightforward kind of show, but I really hope that you enjoy it because we should have ourselves a good time. I kind of wish we had some, like, you know, maybe like some lights in here and like maybe some eggnog or something, you know, to make it a little bit more festive. We do not. There are some decorations in the other studios and whatnot, but, you know, that's on the other side of the glass.
All
you know,
we've got is one darn dancing Santa.
That is true. That is very true.
He just does the same move.
Before we get further on into the show, I just want to say, if you want to help out the program, you can go to followthesoundpodcast.com and click on that Amazon banner on the right-hand side. It will take you to Amazon, and you can do all of your Christmas shopping right there on Amazon. Unless you're listening to this after the fact, of which I don't know why you would be. But if you do, you can shop for next year's Christmas on Amazon. And everything that you buy, we get a percentage of the money that you spend. And it won't cost you anything extra. It's very, very simple. Click on that banner, take you to Amazon, do all of your shopping. We get money. It's very simple. So you can do that, or you can go to followthesoundpodcast.com/Amazon. Also want to thank lineupmedia.fm for allowing us to do the show. Thank you very much, lineupmedia.fm. That's all I got to say about that.
Thanks, Lineup Media.
They give me money, so I'm happy. That's all I really care about is doing my job and getting money from them. So
he wants more money for Christmas.
That is true. I would like more money for Christmas, but that's beside the point. So, folks, it's Christmas time. The Christmas season is upon us. It is a time for joy and celebration, a time for cheer and present giving. It's just a great and wonderful time of the year. In fact, it is my favorite time of the year. You know why? Because I love winter. I've always been a fan of winter. Like, the whole concept of cold and snow and all of that. My favorite memories growing up are always around wintertime. So this is always one of my favorite things to do. And I love celebrating Christmas. I got my tree up, got presents, got lights, got the whole works. We're good. So the other thing that rounds out all of this is, of course, the Christmas music. And as we also all know, they start playing it really, really early.
I got to get on the soapbox here for a second.
Soapbox away.
Christmas music before Thanksgiving should be a capital offense.
I would agree with you on that.
Thank you.
It should be the day of Thanksgiving.
I mean,
I'm fine with that.
A federal offense, at least. Yeah.
I would say after Thanksgiving, but I'm not going to I'm not going to grinch the day of Thanksgiving.
Right? I'm fine with it the day of.
I mean, all disc jockeys are going to be on vacation anyway. If you want to start the rotation that day, I'm fine with it.
Jacob,
just from a practicality standpoint.
You need to write more Thanksgiving songs. Maybe they'll get some airplay.
No, they won't.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Didn't SNL try to do that?
Yeah.
What was it? Adam Sandler tried to do that.
It's Turkey Day. Get yourself some stuffing.
Yeah, you can be famous, like Weird Al.
Well, you know, I mean, we had Friday. You know, Rebecca Black, and then that other girl came out with the Thanksgiving song. With the turkey, and the stuffing.
I haven't heard this one.
That's a great idea, because Weird Al parodies every song about food anyway. So, yeah, Weird Al Thanksgiving.
It's got to exist.
Send me a royalty
it's
check.
It's got to be there. Yeah.
10%, please.
So, yes, Christmas time for me is a very happy time. I love it, you know, and not just the whole getting of presents. I love giving presents and buying people stuff that they will really enjoy, and it's just a grand old time for me. So, getting into the music aspect of it, though, once again, we have all picked songs that we enjoy, and I'm going to start this one off with Jake.
Okay.
Jake, give me one of your favorites.
All right, I picked this song. It came out in 1958. It is co-written by Chuck Berry, Marvin Brody, and Johnny Marks, the writer of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Now, there was a moratorium over at Chuck Berry's record company where they were not publishing any more Christmas music. It had been going since 1950, since they had lost double the amount of money that they put in to do Christmas. And somehow they were able to persuade them that, no, a Chuck Berry Run Rudolph Run would make money, and it did, and I love it. So the song is a bunch of gobbledygook about a young boy who desperately needs a guitar, and the only person who can get it to him is a reindeer. I generally hate Christmas music. However, this one does have 100% Chuck Berry and 0% Josh Groden.
That is true.
So it passes.
So about Santa Claus, if the reindeer is the only one who can get the presents.
Look, I didn't say it made any sense. I told you it was a bunch of gobbledygook. It doesn't even like stand up. You can't even criticize it on its own merit.
It's a good song. Mm. I mean, too bad he passed away.
True. Yeah.
73 was too young for Chuck Berry.
Wasn't he 90?
I have no idea. I just looked this up. 1929. He was born in 1929.
Okay.
Let's go to Blueberry Hill and eat about it.
All right, Greg, what do you got for a choice?
Well, all my Christmas songs are just me probably just going to sing them to you. I don't know if I know the names, but it's the one that goes, "Have a holly jolly Christmas."
I think it goes a little something like this.
It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas.
There you go, Holly Jolly Christmas.
Yeah. You don't like
by
that?
By Burl Ives.
No,
this was the one he liked.
That's like one it? I do like. Oh, okay. It's so cheerful.
All right.
So classic.
I'm going to shit on it then.
Oh.
It sounds too much like Puff the Magic Dragon.
I can see that.
But, Greg, it does give me the chance to say Burl Ives. Because that's a fun name to say.
Well, first off, Puff the Magic Dragon is a cut, so there goes your theory right there, for starters. And second of all, I'm pretty interested in what the deal is with this cup of cheer that everybody's drinking.
Mm. Hey, you sold me on it, Greg. Yeah. I now love the song.
Let's get some cup of cheer going.
Yes,
I also wanted to point out that Burl Ives, of course, did the voice of the snowman, Sam the Snowman, in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the claymation movie. And Jessica always wants to watch that one like every year. And so
That association.
Man,
I think
we could almost do an entire show just to. I mean, I know it'd be off topic a little bit to follow the sound, but we could do totally like Christmas movies and it'd be great. Too,
I thought you were going to say a whole episode of stuff Jessica likes.
I'm just saying. No, because he makes
that on topic.
Christmas movies. I'm just saying. We could tie that in. I'd do it just for fun.
If we do that all Jessica episode, we got to make sure we don't invite her and just do a whole. Trust me, she loves this.
Hey, I told you before. I've always wanted to do an episode or episodes called From My Wife's Collection and randomly select an album from her CD collection that I don't listen to.
We all just crap on it.
Yeah, it'd be hilarious.
Chris
I'd
Gaines.
Love to do it. She doesn't have Chris Gaines.
For those of you who don't know, we've already established a pretty poor relationship with Brian's wife, Jessica, because...
What are you talking about? She likes you guys.
She likes us a lot, and all we do is just turn around and just poo-poo everything she
does. That is not true.
Look, here's the thing. If you just poo-poo Brian, like right afterwards, she forgets about.
Oh yeah, then she comes back to be friends with us.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a trick I've learned.
I just want to say, Jessica, Merry Christmas.
Yes. So here we go for one of my choices, and I'm gonna do this one because I've always liked this song, like. Every time it comes on for Christmas time, I want to listen to it. And then, of course, because it is also sung by the great Judy Garland, at least this version of it, and I've always loved her voice, too. But this is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. Next year all our troubles will be miles away. Once again, as in olden days, happy golden days of yore.
So there you go. Judy Garland doing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Of course, also being done in the movie Meet Me in St. Louis, which is a classic movie about being in St. Louis.
You'll notice that when I was asking you for song selections, you didn't have to tell me what version. Like, I didn't have to ask. I already knew it was going to be Judy Garland.
That's true. But, so. I mean, that's like kind of the classic version of it, in my opinion. I know there are other people that did it, and they did a very good job, too, but... Judy Garland doing it in that movie still is,
I know,
is, the,
your
is one
ridiculous
of my favorites.
Little crush on Judy Garland that's still going on.
Yeah, yeah. Shut
at
up.
Age 35.
Shut up.
Look, hey, you know, it would make my life if I found out that Judy Garland just cussed like a sailor. And
oh, she did.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, she was like a better looking.
Oh no.
Version
she,
of me.
She would fight people. She was a hardcore drinker, drug addict, cussed out anybody.
Now I need to find some Judy Garland biographies.
Yeah, she was a hardcore lady.
Oh,
that's
amazing.
Why she died so young.
You just really want the slippers.
Well, that too. they make my legs look good.
Got some slipper envy.
All right. So, Jake, we've all gotten our number three spot so far.
Okay.
So,
let's do a Ben. Aren't we going to do a Ben?
Well, Ben actually only picked one song.
Yeah, there's only one I really hate.
Okay,
so
fine.
One he liked and
one
he hated.
Well, there's two. Two I hate.
Two he hate, but we'll probably get to that anyway. So,
all right.
There's two
all right.
I hate.
Well, let's keep the cheer up
as long as
we can.
All right.
So we'll do the good stuff first, and then we'll do the bad stuff.
But there's one that I like.
But we'll get to the one you like when we get to the other ones.
That's fine.
All right, number two.
Number two on your list. What do you got?
Written, performed, and sung by a guy from Costa Rica. No, Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Jose Feliciano. And what I love about this song is that it's good. What I dislike about the song is that when anyone who is not a doesn't speak Spanish sings it, the Spanish is really quiet, but the English is super strong when they get to that part.
Not when my dad does it.
No.
My dad does a great version
of
this.
He does do a good version because he practices.
That is true.
That's
he does
right.
practice it.
Just get the Spanish bit down, practice it twice as much as the English whenever you're just playing the song, and you'll be up to snuff. This is Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas, I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas, I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom.
That was a good dance. You need a webcam for this show.
Yeah, that would probably work. But then again, it would also be hilarious if I had turned on the mics when that song was going
on. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Because the second it got to the English part, it was all over.
I want to wish you. I would have owned it. That's all I'm saying.
I am quite fond of Christmas songs that you could be found in like a variety show or something.
Yes.
To like a gong show for Christmas music.
Yeah.
It's true.
Like, and out come like the cartwheeling elves. Like, it's just like.
We'll get some money together and produce it.
I know. There's a world of possibilities.
Let's sell that
out
to CBS.
There.
All right, Greg. Your choice now. What do you got for your number two slot?
You guys all ready to get really, really, really heavy?
Sure.
For some Christmas
we can
here?
Probably do that.
Hell yeah.
Let's do it.
Can I get a heaven, yeah?
No, apparently no.
So, hell no, heaven yes.
I never heard that at a Striper concert, but I should have.
I heard that in church one time, man. That threw me off.
So,
I'm just surprised you go to church.
Really?
So, my pick here is kind of a double-edged sword, and both edges of that sword are good, because the song itself, I like the various versions of it, even the classic, but there's one group out there that takes classic Christmas songs and turns them into freaking badass Christmas songs. The group, of course, is Trans-Siberian Orchestra with their version of Carol of the Bells.
Spot. Yeah. Slowly faded out. For those of you who don't know, Trans-Siberian Orchestra is coming to our town, St. Louis, in just a couple of weeks. You can still get tickets if you go to any of the Live Nation websites and look for tickets, or you can go to Ticketmaster. Or I believe they're playing at Scott Trade Center, which means you can go to the Scott Trade Center website and look there for tickets as well.
And if you look at your calendar and it's the year 2018, oh, you missed it.
No, you didn't, because they're coming back again next year. Woo!
Hey, all
They come back every year. As we all know, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, they love that tour, that densely packed tour that they go on, like right there after Thanksgiving and push on towards everything else. It's a very interesting. They try to tell a different story every year, a different show that they try to put on. But they do play a lot of these classics like Carol of the Bells. So it's like they do their big story, and then like the second half of the show is like their classic Trans-Siberian Orchestra stuff.
But they freaking rip it, man.
Yeah, they do. They're all extremely talented musicians.
But the only last thing I'll say, though, is that even if you listen to the classic version of that song where it's the vocals and, you know, ding goes the bell, dun, 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 dun.
Ding, fries are done. Ding, fries are done.
Or, yes, the...
would you like an apple pie with that?
Exactly. So I think it just goes to show it's a good song, even if it's about Burger King fries. And
that is true. Yep. All right. So my number two choice starts out with a trivia question. What was the first song ever played on radio?
Ever?
Ever? Yeah. On the radio?
On the radio.
Probably the Lord's
first
Prayer.
First radio broadcast ever done.
Probably the Lord's Prayer.
You're talking, what, 1921-ish?
I want to say Keep on the Sunny Side.
Nope. First ever.
Was it a Christmas song?
The first ever like radio broadcast that went out, which is actually used a weather vane as the actual antenna. The guy did it on Christmas Day, and he read the Gospel of Mark, I believe, which was the accounting, or he read the Gospel of Luke, which is the accounting of Jesus' birth, and then proceeded to play on violin, O Holy Night.
I was going to guess that.
The first song ever played on a radio broadcast in the world was O Holy Night, which is my choice for my number two song. And this is actually a version done by Luciano Pavarotti and Placido Domingo. Well, for those of you who liked Italian, I'm happy for you. I enjoyed that immensely, though. I'm a big fan of Pavarotti. So, yes, that was the Italian version, of course, of O Holy Night, or Cantique de Noël, something close to that, at least. But, yeah, that right there, one of my all-time favorite songs, especially when they get to that part that, of course, everybody knows, the fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, and it's that big, loud part of the voice. Oh, yeah.
It gave me goosebumps.
Yeah.
I really wanted to find like a bad karaoke.
Like, of course you did.
Moose Lodge karaoke version of this just to ruin it for you.
That would have been horrible.
But when I saw two of the three tenors singing it, I couldn't resist.
Yeah. I mean, if you'd found the music, I could have done it, but it would have been fine. I mean, yeah. I'm just saying. It's one of those songs that, like, I've always had very fond memories of listening to other people sing it, and it kind of is just one of those very powerful songs. So there you go. Mine, Oh Holy Night. This one being, of course, performed by Luciano Pavarotti and Placido Domingo. There you go.
That's a good one.
Jake, it's time for the number ones.
Number ones. All right. I don't expect anyone else to go with me on this.
Nope.
But I think that this is the greatest Christmas song written, which is saying a lot because I hate 98% of all of them. All right. This one was released in 1967. It's written by Roger Miller. It's been covered by hundreds of people. Glenn Campbell's one of them. That's the version I think most people have heard. It's been done in French. More recently, it was done by a woman named Susan, and I'm going to butcher this last name, Aglukarak, in Inuit.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
And I can't find it. I didn't have time setting up for the show to, like, Amazon Prime it to me, so... anyhow, this is Roger Miller. This is Old Toy Trains.
Old toy trains, little toy tracks, little boy toys coming from a sack, carried by a man dressed in white and red. Little boy, don't you think it's time you were in bed? Close your eyes, listen to the skies. All is calm, all is well. Soon you'll hear Kris Kringle and the jingle bells, bringing old toy trains, little toy tracks, little boy toys, coming from a sack, carried by a man dressed in white and red. Little boy, don't you think it's time you were in bed?
That's a very pretty song.
That's the first time I've ever heard it.
Yeah.
Ever. I've never heard that song ever.
Well, that's a good
and
choice.
It's in all these languages, and I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
No, I've never heard of it.
There's a guy in France that sings it on national television every year with a chorus of children, either playing instruments or singing in a choir with them. They're all terrible because it's children.
At least you're honest.
Right. But, you know, but it's
kids.
Right. But it makes up for it in, like, the, you know, adorable factor. What I love about that song is that. He never says Christmas. He never says Santa Claus. There's no sleigh bells in it, but it puts you in a Norman Rockwell painting.
Well, yeah, I mean, that acoustic guitar, just the way it rings out, like, you don't need the sleigh bells, you don't need the glitz and the shimmering kind of feel to the Christmas song, but yet that guitar kind of gives you everything you need. It's more, for me, like you said, this is more of like the warm, crackling fireplace kind of a Christmas song. Which, you know, a crackling fireplace is not a Christmas thing, but yet it is. So, and you know what I mean? That comparison.
And I've always said that, like, Roger Miller is the most underrated lyricist that nobody talks about. Even if you fart up the lyrics of the song, there's a rhyme after it anyway. If you don't, because, okay, a man dressed in white and red when everyone says red and white, because R before W, that's kind of how the English language works when you're saying things sometimes. Even if you fart that up, there's a rhyme after that, right? The little boy, don't you think it's time to say goodnight instead of time in bed? If you fart up old toy trains and say little toy trains, then it's three littles to begin every line each time. I get it. I'm the crazy person in the room.
I mean, keep shouting the brilliance of a man no one cares about. If I was
going
to break into this song and just start singing it, it's good to know I've got, like, plan A and plan B.
Oh, yeah, you got options, man.
For every public appearance I make, I'm set. Thank you, Jake.
All right, Ben. Spotlight's on you.
For me? Oh, favorite?
What's your favorite Christmas song?
I love that Kelly Clarkson Underneath the Tree. I really do like that song.
Does it go a little something like this?
like that song because it's upbeat. It's not slow. Like, don't get me wrong.
That's true. Yeah.
I like the classics. Don't get me wrong. But it's newer. It's fresher. You know, there's a little sadness, like, you know, trying to hold somebody tight, you know, the whole.
That's
trying
true.
To bring every. I just like it.
Well, no, I totally get it. See, what it reminds me of, though, is more of that, like, Ronette's Phil Spector wall of sound, you know, that he developed. It's totally in that style, but it's an updated version of that style, and that's what I liked about it.
Well, it reminded me of that one, the Christmas song that's like, Christmas, Christmas.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, and it kind of that upbeat feel. And it's cool because Christmas is one of those things that, like, throughout the decades, people can keep building off of it. And so you have artists like Kelly Clarkson putting out stuff that you might become a new Christmas tradition as much as some of the old classics are. And
that is true.
I think it's cool that we can keep getting new renditions, even of the same old stuff, as long as it's good.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, Greg, you're up to bat.
Cool. So can I kind of use this moment to transition us from the good ones to the bad ones?
You're picking, well, because you got to do your top pick, and I got to do my top pick.
Your top, oh, you still have a top one.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I was saying. You got to do your top
one. All right. Well, because my top picks kind of straddle the line between it's my favorite because everybody probably hates them.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So, yes. Do you want me to go now? I'll go
now. But, yes, give me your top choice still.
Okay. Well, I really think that Carol of the Bells was really like my top choice.
Okay. Yes.
I kind of, you know.
Well, then give me your not top choice.
My not top choice is going to have to be a Hawaiian Christmas song because Mali Kaliki Maka is a fine way to say Merry Christmas to you.
The great Bing Crosby.
Malikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Malikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Malikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Malikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Greg, I do believe that's the first time I've ever listened to that song sober.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I mean, we should have had the eggnog spiked in here and we would have been all set.
Yes.
We could have enjoyed it the proper way.
Very true. Very, very true.
With the Andrew sisters.
Yeah, I just learned that too. Thank you, Ben. That I love that chorus with the female vocals. And
yeah.
Ben informed us that was the Andrew sisters.
You never heard them before?
Well, I've heard of them. I just didn't know that.
We've covered them on the show before. And I've been wanting to do like a special episode that just covers USO female vocalist because there's like they're completely forgotten. Nobody talks about them. So I love that you know that.
I still love Bing Crosby's voice. Man, he had that just smooth way of singing that I loved. So
I would like to plug in the reference to that the Christmas Vacation movie,
yes,
where they throw that in there is just the perfect scene,
yeah,
of him,
yep,
having that vision
of the pool party and stuff.
Yep.
Yes, perfect. So my original top choice was another Bing Crosby song. Ooh. And that, of course, was White Christmas.
White Christmas.
But
that is the top played, yep, Christmas song,
like,
of all time.
Number one selling single of all time still, like, because it keeps selling every year. But I decided to call an audible.
Ooh.
Because I remembered a song when we were discussing stuff. I remembered it right here when we were talking about things. And it clicked in my head, and I was like, oh, yes. This is a song that I absolutely love, and not a lot of other people, like, have heard it. And it came from The Monkees, actually. And so I got it queued up right here. And this is a very lovely song that they did called Ryu Ryu Chiyu.
Ryu Ryu Chiyu La Guada Rivera, Dios cuando el lobo de nuestra cordera. Dios cuando el lobo de nuestra cordera. Ryu Ryu Chiyu La Guada Rivera. Dios cuando el lobo de nuestra cordera. Dios cuando el lobo de nuestra codera. El lobo rabioso la quiso morder, mas Dios poderoso la supo defender. Quiso le hacer que no pudiese pecar, y en original es tu virgen no tuviera. Ryu, Ryu, Shiu, la guada rivera. Dios cuando el lobo de nuestra codera.
There. It's a simple song.
I've never heard of it.
Of course you haven't.
No.
But I've always liked that from the moment I heard it. And I always wanted to get like three other dudes together and like do it as like a Christmas
thing. Well,
there's
four in this room.
Yep.
That is true.
We're all here.
That is true. But yes.
Rio, Rio, Rio.
So it's what it is that it's a Spanish song that's not necessarily a Christmas song, but it is sung at Christmas time. And from what I understand, it's a story about a boy and like a wolf and like some other stuff too. I don't know because I don't speak Spanish. But the song is generally a Christmas song, just not in America. So, but there you go. That's the Monkees version of Ryu Chiyu. And yeah. I always like that one. You can find it on like one of the, I think like the Christmas special that they did.
Well, another interesting observation as a result of this is that was the Monkees, but they were doing a song in Spanish and Christmas. So
yes.
I mentioned how it's timeless, but also it's borderless when you think about it, because you have the Monkees singing in Spanish. We heard the Italian version of
Oh Holy Night.
Of Oh Holy Night, which is
Jose Feliciano with Feliz Navidad.
Exactly.
I mean, like, that's kind of the great thing about it. I mean, Christmas is celebrated across the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, there's a bunch of places that don't celebrate it. But, I mean, they celebrate Christmas in, you know, like, Japan and in Russia and all throughout Europe and in Africa and in South America and in North America. It's like, you know, they celebrate Christmas in Antarctica because why not? The scientists are down there and they got to do something. So,
well, and more specifically, like they might be celebrating their form of Christmas, but yet we have some of these songs that
mm-hmm.
are from other cultures, but we still celebrate them the same way. And I think that's what's most interesting about it to me is you'll
yes.
have a Spanish Christmas song that here in America we're listening to and enjoying and feeling just as festive as a result.
Yes.
That sentiment transitions very well into the last segment of our show.
Songs from Christmas that we hate.
Right. Specifically, songs that are completely out of touch. You know where I'm going with this, Brian.
Yes.
Because you asked me to put this one in.
So, okay. So, which one? Are you doing your choice?
No, the one you asked for.
The one I asked for?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll kick off this one. All right, I won't
We're just talking about how everyone knows what Christmas is, which was apparently a sentiment completely lost on Band-Aid.
Yes, it goes a little something like this.
It's Christmas time. No need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shade. And in our world of plenty, we can spread a smile of joy. Throw your arms around the world at Christmas time. Pray for the other one.
There you go.
See, I like that little part.
It's such a bad song, though.
Was this for like a benefit or something originally?
So, okay. So we have We Are the World.
Yeah.
That was put together, a bunch of superstars coming together to raise money for Africa and stuff. And it's like, you know, we are the world. We are the children. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they did one for Haiti.
Super
too.
Cool. All right. So. They decided to do this one in Britain, which was basically the exact same setup. Let's get a bunch of stars together. Let's record this song. We'll sell it. And like basically all the money goes to Africa and all of that. It's just that instead of doing We Are the World, which is sort of a generic song of like, hey, everybody, let's come together and support our fellow man, to Do They Know It's Christmas Time at All? It's just a complete miss of the mark.
All right, well, yeah. Look, here's the thing, though.
Here's the image of the album. It's like Norman Rockwell kind of stuff all spliced together, and Do They Know It's Christmas? And question mark. And it's like all this stuff, and then down in the center are two starving African children.
Well, yeah, and it's
like, it's so just over the top. Like, they're like, oh, we got to try and match what the Americans did. Let's go ahead and do that. Of course, We Are the World freaking sells like 70 million copies around the world. Well, and this one sold like 1.8 million.
It's kind of a condescending song to be like, do they know it's Christmas? Yeah, I know it's Christmas. I just don't get anything for Christmas.
It's like, what's Christmas? Can I eat it?
No, I know Christmas exists. I've just been deprived of it, my entire life, but thanks for asking.
I think that okay, so this song is so British in its miss, in the way it just completely misses.
So I do have a great list here, though. Like, so here's all the people
let's know.
It's not the first time the Brits have screwed stuff up in Africa.
Of course, Bono and like Adam Clayton. And like other members of U2 were on there. Phil Collins, Chris Cross, Bob Geldof from the Boomtown Rats. Like, just going down this. Simon Le Bon from Duran Duran. George Michael from Wham, of course. Like, Roger Taylor from Duran Duran.
Elton John, is he on there?
Yeah, I believe he was. The funny thing, though, is that they kept, like, They keep like redoing this song like every few years or whatever, and they did one in 2014 that was like all the modern British stars, and so like Ed Sheeran's on it and stuff like that. I was like, I'm sure the production quality is vastly superior, but it's still a stupid song.
The production quality on this is not bad.
No, a song done in 84. I mean,
honestly think that composition wise, this absolutely trumps We Are the World.
So here's what's kind of funny, though, is that if you bought the album and you listened to the B-side, there were spoken parts. And so they had like Big Country in there, which is, you know, but David Bowie, Holly Johnson from Frankie Goes to Hollywood, and Paul McCartney doing little spoken parts. And of course, David Bowie reading anything is going to sound pretty awesome. So they should have just had him just reading the lyrics to this song, and it would have sounded way better.
So, I don't know if too much time has passed since we just now played the song for my joke to land.
Go ahead.
But I definitely feel like the only thing that song is missing is like a solid didgeridoo.
The only problem is that's like, you know, Australian, and so it would have...
Yeah, but I mean, that beat was so driving, I felt like if you just did get that...
I wouldn't have been surprised if somebody was like, hey, we should have a didgeridoo, and they're like, yeah, that's African.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, hey, Australia celebrates Christmas too.
Both continents start with A.
Ethiopia was only the home of the early Christian church. Maybe you're right. Yeah. Do they know it's Christmas? Maybe that sentiment is completely lost on them. However, you kind of hit the nail on the head, Ben. At least this time, when they screwed over Africa, they weren't bombing the Sudan with chemical agents. So, yeah.
So there you go. That's my top choice for song that I hate. I cannot stand it. I can tolerate most other Christmas songs, including like I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas.
I like that,
you know,
song.
Or like, you know, just some of the other ones that a lot of other people really, really hate. I usually can get along with them, but that song, it irks me every single time I hear it
played. And you know, you guys are making me really uncomfortable mixing religion and politics here.
There's only one other song that I really can't stand like as much as that one, and I didn't put it on this list. And that's because a ton of other people love it. And it's the John Lennon Christmas song, the one where they start going, "War is over if you want it." I freaking hate that song.
Oh, I totally forgot about that one. Hey, I agree with you on that.
And so that's the better
Beatles Christmas song.
That is the better Beatles Christmas song.
That Paul McCartney,
but at the same time, I
cannot
stand it.
Yeah, but the kids sound kind of weird in that song.
And Yoko, when she starts freaking singing, God, I hate that song.
She's my favorite Beatle.
You love the Plastic Ono Band, yet you hate this song. You know what?
No. What do you mean I love the Plastic Ono Band? I don't love the Plastic Ono Band.
Yeah,
I've never liked the Plastic Ono Band.
Really?
Yeah.
Because that's
not... I've talked about... Did we not talk about the Plastic Ono Band?
Yeah.
When I talked about the one album that I got album shamed because I bought Phil Collins' Face Value.
Instead of Yoko Ono.
Well, I bought both of them, but I told him I was more excited about the Face Value one with Phil Collins over the Plastic Ono Band. And the guy was just like, well, obviously Plastic Ono Band is one of the greatest artistic endeavors ever performed by blah, blah, blah. It's like, and Phil Collins is, you know, whatever. It's like, I'm sorry, but I'd rather listen to In the Air Tonight than Yoko screeching. It's just that simple.
Ugh, liberals. This coming from a guy who probably falls asleep listening to Trout Mask Replica.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Let's go ahead and move on. Well, so we'll do it. We did it one way before. We'll do it in reverse. Greg, right. what is your pick for a bad Christmas song?
My favorite bad Christmas songs are also my favorite Christmas songs.
Of course they are.
let's just get this one out of the way. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth.
Okay.
Because that's just annoying.
That's true. Yeah, I don't like that one.
Even better than that, though, is definitely a Chipmunk Christmas.
I like that one, actually.
Christmas time you want a hula is hoop? Here. Yep.
We should get you one, Brian.
A hula hoop.
And
we can hardly stand.
Keep singing.
Alvin!
Christmas
Alvin!
Be late.
Alvin!
See, I like that song, though.
Yeah, well, I mean,
because the harmony parts are always fun.
You love it and you hate it.
And they say hula hoop.
To round out my list, this one is number one, and it's all because of the voice, honestly. This man has the best voice in Christmas music that I have ever heard, and that is Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Oh. Walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
Yes, please.
Because I want to do the whole, like, kind of dance to
Sold
it.
Sold at a truck stop near you.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Atrocious.
Those are definitely, like, super overplayed as well, so.
You know what Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer makes me think? And I feel like this exists. Jake, you're the authority on this. Tell me. Is there a Christmas version of Convoy out there?
Oh, I never thought
we
of that.
We gotta move this Christmas,
you know,
convoy.
You know what? The answer to that question is yes. And I know this because Christmas 1999... I was down in a parking lot in South St. Louis listening to KDHX.
As one does.
Ring in Christmas.
Yeah.
And I can't even remember whose show it was. I can't remember his name right now. But yes, he did. He played A Trucker Christmas, I think was the name of the album that the songs came off of. And I think he played three or four tracks from it. But they're all songs about, okay, there was a minute when truck driving was cool. I know you're not going to believe this.
Breaker, 10-4.
Yeah, but Smokey the Bandit came out at that time. And yes, Convoy was on the radio, and there was a Convoy equivalent Christmas song.
There had
song.
To be. We got to move this Christmas convoy to the Golden Star.
Oh, right.
Tinsel on my big rig.
Yeah. Well, I imagine there's like a little stuffed teddy bear like on the front of the rig with like a Santa hat.
Of course,
like,
there is.
I like those cars that have the was it the red nose up front and the
antlers
in the windows or whatever.
They're listening to Christmas Convoy. Actually, they're listening to Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer in that in their Volkswagen Bug through Mesa, Arizona on Christmas Day with reindeer antlers and a blinking red light.
All right, Ben.
So the ones I hate, Last Christmas by Wham.
Yo, yeah, actually, hey, I got that one. Let's go ahead and listen to it.
It's overplayed.
Let's go, tiny little bit of this one.
I just don't get gave it away. Why would you give it away?
Give it to someone special. I thought we didn't like this song.
We don't.
No, we don't.
No. But it's just that it's really, really overplayed.
This
so.
Is the one that got you up and moving the most, though, Brian.
No, it didn't. That was sarcastically moving.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay. I can hear it probably once or twice a season. Okay, that's fine, but it's over.
This year, I'll give it to someone special. It's depressing.
I gave you my heart, and then you gave it away.
All right. So, other than that one, what's your top choice for song you
okay,
hate?
Okay. So, I do like this song, but again, it really gets overplayed.
That is
but
true.
But let's be honest. She makes a lot of money off of this, probably. You know, in November and December.
That
is
true.
Mariah Carey, "All I Want for Christmas Is You."
Oh, that piano, though.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. I mean, I guess in the 90s is great, but, you know, but people fight over singing the song every year.
Well, there you go.
What do you want for Christmas?
Not that.
I can say there's not a lot of Christmas songs.
Is
out
it bad
there.
That I was more so like, hey, there's a bunch of dogs in the music video, and is it bad that my first thought was, I bet all those dogs are dead?
Oh my god, that's awful.
That was horribly depressing. But...
yeah, but you know, she's...
oh, now she's got bunnies. Those things are definitely dead.
Some of that in the music video. It's some of her home movies, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, there's not a lot of Christmas songs I could do Tie Bow to, but that's a good one.
Tie Bow to.
I'm just saying. That's good.
Oh, boy, 16-year-old reference there, buddy.
Hey, but you know what? If it makes money for her, it makes money for her.
That is true.
So this is
probably like one of the primary things that she earns money from every year is just that song either being played or people actually buying it on like weird compilation albums or something.
Well, if you notice the networks, like TV networks, they always book her for something like the Lighting of the Rockefeller Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
And she does it, and you can tell she's annoyed by it.
I remember
sometimes.
Last year they did it with James Corden when he did his carpool karaoke.
Mm-hmm.
He had her on for one of the episodes, but in that episode, like, as a separate recording thing, they had her do that song and then had all of the other celebrities throughout the year do the exact same song. And just, I was like, okay, I get, at least that was like a clever little thing to do, you know, as far as the show goes. But yeah, I'm with you on this one. Like, I can hear that song once and then like, I'm done with it and I never want to listen to it again.
Till next year.
Does anybody else make this association? Because this song to me always brings to mind, like, the people who do the light shows on their house. You know, and they synchronize it to a song.
Yeah.
This song makes me think of people doing that every year. I don't know if it's just me, but like they'll make like a Christmas tree singing,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Now you want to go home and do that, right?
Well, I wish I had one of those houses with the light show. Everybody would park in front of my home in the evening and listen on their radio.
So magical.
And, yeah, it'd be great. And everybody would say, hey, let's go see the Christmas house. And that would be me. And. No.
Christmas Greg.
I don't think I'll ever be. I think I'm going to be the guy who does that, except for Halloween. I'm going to play like Halloween
really
so I do that.
Have you seen those videos?
Those are amazing, actually.
I'm going to have to see them.
The funny thing for me is that I can't stand it when, like, you know, entire subdivisions in the suburbs just, like, you know, do like they decorate everything, and then people drive from miles around to like drive down the street and be like, oh, look at that house. Oh, look at that house.
You know what, Brian? Way to go to crap on the only thing to make winter.
I hate suburbia,
halfway,
so I'm just saying.
Like, halfway
oh, I'm
all, decent.
I'm supportive of it because if you speed, you know, you get some money out of it. So get those cops
I've
out
I've never been big on like decorating houses and stuff like that. Which just
do you
to
have
let
a tree
you know,
up?
Just I do have a tree, but that's on the inside. That's for my personal viewing. I never was big on like lights and stuff like that on the outside. But here's just to show you, because you know my dad has the Christmas tree lights up all year, never takes them down.
Oh, so, I got one
it's
better.
Cool, dude.
Yes,
I got one better. Since we're talking about this real quick, my grandmother
yes
has this like family whatever hangout room
mm-hmm.
in front of the house. No one ever goes in there except one time a year. That's
Christmas.
And guess what stays up all year long?
The Christmas tree.
The Christmas tree has been up for 20 years.
I got one that's wow. that's funny
and
as well.
You just shut the doors and you don't see it until next year.
There's a lady who's a friend of my mom's, I believe, who she'll take the tree and she'll saran wrap it.
With all the ornaments?
With all the ornaments and everything. Just saran wrap the whole thing and then stick it in the closet or, you know, wherever. So or the garage.
Mine's
and then,
better.
And then next year, like, just unwrap it, like, and then there you go. At least with me, like, I put the, you know, we take off all the stuff. I put the tree back into the box because, of course, we don't have a real tree. You know, it's like, and then we store everything where we can.
Here's the real
question.
That's
the question. Thing I hate. Friggin' half of a closet's just, like, Christmas stuff packed in there. I'm like, come on, can we get rid of this?
Does she reuse the saran wrap?
I have no idea. I don't know.
She wraps the saran wrap.
The same saran.
She
wraps
the
Christmas that.
Cookies.
I'm leaving
that. In it.
Oh my god! Like it's like, hey, this cookie kind of has a slight asbestos kind of flavor to it.
That's like when you graduate from saving the wrapping paper that someone just took off their present. That's like the next level above
it's
it.
Like this tree was made with lead paint. Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
All right,
original.
Jake,
yes. Okay.
You're closing out our worst
okay.
pick songs.
Yes.
So this better be a doozy.
Well, first springs to mind a song that I always hate every year, and there's always a sense of shame associated with this.
Yes, like most things.
Because there's a dark St. Louis Wade, like St. Louis involved backstory to Christmas Shoes. From New Song.
Oh, I totally forgot about that song.
Yeah, it's terrible. So Christmas Shoes was co-written by Isaiah Daniel, who was DC from Stephen DC Radio Show.
Really?
Yeah. And
we said that at the same time.
Yeah.
Really?
He co-produced that song and like pestered New Song to record it and then convinced their label to put it as a bonus track on and it wasn't even part of like a Christmas release. And the song is terrible, but it's not white enough.
Okay.
It's not white enough.
Yes, because when I was looking for terrible songs, I was reminded of a country song from Eddie Arnold that is painfully white.
Okay.
This, I love the title of this, and I saved it. I just wrote surprise on the track list. So that Brian wouldn't hear.
Oh, I thought that was the name of the song. I thought it was Surprise!
Christmas Surprise! No.
The name of the song, cue this up, get ready, is Will Santy Come to Shanty Town?
To my shanty town.
Will Santy come to Shanty Town? To a poor little boy like me, will he bring me some toys like the other girls and boys? Will Santy come to Shanty Town if he sees our Christmas tree? Mommy said he would if I promised to be good, for we don't have a fireplace or a chimney on our shack like the other lucky children have who live across the track.
Now if I say my prayers each day when Christmas rolls around, will Santa come to Shantytown?
Okay.
All right.
This song is about a child brooding and crying over his lack of privilege and then doubling down on religion to hope that he gets it. I hate this song so much. It's terrible. F*** you, Eddie Arnold. Ooh. And f*** you, RCA Victor, for recording that in 1949. It is available on 78 at some record store, probably not labeled. You'll have to dig through a bin to get it.
That was
it.
A nice plug right there.
Yeah, I don't know why, but that vulgarity made my teeth hurt. Like,
you're welcome.
Like felt like I chewed on tinfoil there.
Like, his two front teeth are going to fall out.
Well, I mean, for some people, that's probably typical Christmas talk, so.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying.
Where do I find this? Man.
Don't ask.
I'm literally the kind of guy where if I find a record that's not labeled or has, like, half a label, or has, better yet, a Vanity Press label on it.
Yeah.
I water at the mouth to listen and just find, like, ooh, is there a terrible gem in here that I can
do,
torture someone
with? I do
with?
Love that. I do love going to, like, Slackers used to have, like, their like, dollar section or whatever. It's like, and usually they'd even have, like, specials, you know, like 2-for-1 or something. It's like, and you just find some of the worst albums ever made, and yet you, like, you put them in the car and you listen to them. It's like, just to see exactly how bad they were. Man, I love that.
Ladies and gentlemen, you do not understand the extent of effort Jake has to go through just to find music he doesn't like. He works so
and
hard.
And you pay for it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
His hard-earned money, just to let you know what a terrible album this is.
Yes.
So there you go.
In case you were wondering what the album with the missing label was.
That being said, though, I mean, Eddie Arnold's voice is pretty good on that song, but...
Yeah, but I mean...
The lyrics are what kill it, though.
Oh, the song is atrocious. He goes on later to describe, like, to... The child questions, will mother just be painting my toys like she did last year to try and fool me into thinking I have new toys? This song is so dumb.
At first I was like, is this some type of, like, reference to, you know, the like the Great Depression, like when shanty towns really became a thing? It's like, and then I'm listening to it, it's just like, no, this is just a...
No, it's just weepy.
It's just a dumb kid.
Yeah, it's just weepy 40s country with a Christmas theme to it.
That is true. That is very true.
So thanks for listening to it.
There you go. Thank you, folks, for listening to our Christmas show. I have certainly had fun talking about our favorite picks and our least favorite picks for Christmas music. That being said, you know what? If you like it, then that's your deal. If you honestly love Mariah Carey and Wham doing Christmas songs, more power to you. We're not here to actually judge your taste in music. This is just our taste in music.
But we are.
But if you like that last song, then, I mean, there's something probably wrong with you. So thank you, folks, for listening. Remember, if you want to help us out, you can always go to our website, followthesoundpodcast.com, and click on that Amazon banner, or you can go to followthesoundpodcast.com/Amazon. Of course, we also want to say check out all of the other great programming on lineupmedia.fm. You can find a ton of great shows, great content that is being updated weekly, sometimes multiple times a week, and just anything that you could possibly want. If you like sports, we've got sports for you. You like movies, we got movies for you. You like the country of Armenia, we've got 2 shows for you. That's amazing, actually.
More shows than countries.
So there you go. Check out everything at lineupmedia.fm, and please do so. But I have to say that I have been your host, Brian Kroc. I think that I've been a fairly jolly host tonight. But along with me has been Greg Harvey.
God bless us, everyone.
As Tiny Tim, Ben Schaefer.
Hi. I don't have anything cutesy, sorry.
As Scrooge and Jacob Crumb.
Santa Claus has got the AIDS this year. Tiny Tim song. Look it up.
As the Grinch.
And who are you?
Remember, folks.
You're Cindy Lou Who.
He's jolly old Saint Nick.
Well, no, me personally, I have been dreaming of a white Christmas, and I hope we get it. But remember, if you hear it, every year it will come back again. But follow the sound.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.